Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. As always, I'm Chris, and I'm here to talk to you about some games this week. So, yes, a few bits of news to get through, and then getting stuck into the main subject of this episode. So, yeah, let's get cracking with the news. Okay, first bit of news is Nintendo-related. They have unfortunately announced why their games for the end of this year has now been delayed into 2022. Spring 2022, but no exact date as far as I'm aware. And this is Advanced Wars Reboot Camp 1 and 2. It was announced at E3. It was the remake of Advanced Wars 1 and 2. I'm not surprised it's been delayed because it was absent from the September Nintendo Direct. So, yeah, the fact it didn't show up there did made me think that maybe there was something going on and might be pushed back. But then again, they could have just done like a Twitter overview trailer near the launch. So, yeah, the official news is it has been pushed back just so they can spend a bit more time just finishing off and making sure it's where they want the game to be when it comes out. So, yeah, any fans of Advanced Wars, it will be a bit more of a wait. Now pushed back to spring 2022. Next up is Microsoft. They have been fully playing into the memes and jokes about the appearance of the Xbox Series X. When the console first got unveiled, a lot of people were doing memes of inserting it into kitchen landscapes as a fridge. And Microsoft and Xbox have kind of completely jumped to that bandwagon and are actually launching a mini fridge shaped like an Xbox Series X. So it's really great. They're kind of then using this opportunity to kind of get involved in like meme culture. It was quite a big meme when the console first got unveiled, the Series X. So apparently the pre-orders have already gone live and they have been selling out like crazy. So I think Scalp was having a field day with them, but yeah, Xbox Series X mini fridges will be a thing. So to keep an eye out on. They do look pretty cool. They got like a green kind of finish to some of it as well. So they got like the Xbox green stuff, green appearance. So yeah, pretty awesome thing to kind of to have as a collector, I think. And a lot of fun. Like I say, it's a cheeky nod to like the internet fandom and kind of the internet response to it. And it's great to see Microsoft just kind of picking it up and running with it and having fun with it. Next up, we have a Sony State of Play has been announced. It is being aired on the 27th of October. For obviously, there's no real news about what's going to be in there, but be interesting to see what they do show off. Obviously, had the PlayStation event earlier in the year, which did show off a lot of upcoming games and announced a lot of first-party stuff. So whether this State of Play be more third-party stuff, maybe finishing out spring next year, because I don't think there'll be anything for the end of this year in this presentation, but maybe just show up some more stuff for next year in it. Yeah, States of Play, I think, can be quite hit and miss. Some are really good and some are kind of a bit lackluster sometimes in terms of content. So I think it all depends on the mix of what they've got to show off. But yeah, something to keep an eye out on next Wednesday. Like I said, there's a Sony State of Play, so if you want to see what Sony are up to and what they got planned, it'd be a good thing to check out. Last bit of news is the GTA Trilogy Definitive Edition has now been kind of shown off in a proper gameplay trailer. The game looks pretty cool. They have really done some graphical touches. It's coming out on pretty much every console, so you have Nintendo Switch included in that, so it's great to see these games coming to the Switch. as well as like the Xbox and PlayStation systems. Interestingly, they are actually adding one of the games individually onto Game Pass as well. So the digital launch is the 11th of November, and on that date, the San Andreas Definitive Edition will be added onto Game Pass. So you're not going to get the whole trilogy on the Game Pass, but one of the three games will be on there, which is kind of cool, gives you a chance to kind of see what they've done with the remaster or remake of the game. Yeah, so you can kind of check it out and see if you want to give the trilogy a whole proper go. But yeah, that kind of wraps up the main news for the week. So now on to the main subject for the week. Okay, so in terms of subject for the week, we're going to be looking at the online services of the main consoles. Yeah, online is now, or has been for many years now, been a charged for feature, so it's an additional cost. I kind of want to look into what each service offers and kind of is it worth it kind of thing. And kind of what you get included of each service, really. Obviously, a lot of these things are subjective and value-wise, so the value is kind of up to you and whether you think it's worth the cost. We are going to get stuck into it. So the three we're going to look at are Sony and a PlayStation Plus service, which obviously is their online service, Xbox Live Gold, and then after that we're going to look a bit into the Game Pass Ultimate situation, and then for Nintendo we've got the Nintendo Switch Online. So I'm going to have a quick talk about each one, kind of what's included, how much it's going to cost. The prices are UK prices, so I know they do differ slightly. It differs slightly around the world, so this is going to start off with the PlayStation Plus or the Sony service. So what's included in the PlayStation Plus service? You get online gaming, monthly games, so you get a selection of free games which are available for free that month, and you can access as long as you got a live subscription. Exclusive discounts, so you got exclusive free discounts, well, not free, but special deals for members. 100 gigabytes of cloud storage, so you can save data online when you got 100 gigabytes, which is not too bad. Share play, which enables other people to get involved in your gameplay. Even if they don't own the game. And exclusive contents are in some free games you get, like Apex Legends and Fortnite, you can get character skins and things like that. So you do get some little things like that. In terms of cost, it is, in UK money, it's $49.99 a year, $19.99 for 3 months, or $6.99 for a monthly cost. So obviously, the longer you subscribe for, the cheaper it works out monthly. For me, the Sony stuff seems quite bare bones in terms of what you get access to. The monthly games are very hit and miss, I think. Especially more recently, the monthly games on PlayStation Plus have been better than the ones for Xbox Live, but obviously I'll go through that. We'll talk about Xbox. So you get a half decent choice of games, and normally across a couple of different consoles. In terms of access to game libraries and stuff like that, that is actually a different subscription series. So you've got PlayStation Now, which is the it's like a streaming service where you can download games, some games as well. That is a separate cost thing, and it's pretty much the same price as the PlayStation Plus. So if you want the access to the online service and access to the online game library that you can stream, it is kind of pretty much £100 a year. I know the PlayStation 5 version of PlayStation Plus does include some games, but it only applies to the PlayStation 5 version. So I know there is a bit more of a library of games you can access with PlayStation Plus collection, but it's kind of weird they haven't implemented that for PS4, so there are a lot of users who are still on PS4 because they can't get PS5s, etc. So yeah, that's kind of one thing I found a bit weird, the fact that they didn't bring that back to PS4. But I think it's an incentive to try and get people to go to PS5, even though people can't really find PS5s at the moment. So yeah, that's kind of a bit of a weird situation with that. Yeah, that kind of wraps up what's included in the PlayStation offering. Next up, we are going to talk about Xbox Live Gold. Xbox Live Gold, even though I said PlayStation Plus is a bit pared back, it is really quite pared back with the Xbox Live Gold offerings. You get multiplayer gaming, you get games with gold, and you get discounts on games and DLC and stuff like that. The multiplayer gaming is pretty standard on an online service. The free games are very hit and miss in what they are sometimes, and especially with Microsoft's emphasis being on Game Pass and trying to get people across to Game Pass, they're not going to be the massive big hitters. You do get a few great legacy titles added on, but in Games for Gold, but you don't really get kind of anything that's a standout. So there are some months where the PlayStation choice of games has been a lot better. In terms of subscribing to it, at the moment you can only do it quarterly or monthly, especially in the UK. So the monthly price is £6.99 or quarterly for £17.99. I think you can buy cards that will later a year. Depend on value depending where you buy them from. Yeah, in terms of subscribing through Microsoft, you can do monthly or quarterly. So yeah, not much option and no kind of year-long subscription, but I think Microsoft are trying to push people towards a Game Pass ultimate option, which I'm going to move across to, which is the next thing. So basically, Game Pass Ultimate includes everything from Xbox Live Gold, plus the access to Game Pass, pretty much. So moving on to Game Pass Ultimate, what that includes, you get the addition of the Game Pass access, so you can access over 100 games on both console and PC, and there are some differences between the libraries on PC and console, so you do get access to some different games, depending what whether you're using the console or the PC to play it. You get EA Play membership as well, which is pretty awesome. So you got a collection of EA titles which you can play, as well as Microsoft ones. So there are some good games on that. So yeah, some awesome games out of service. Cloud gaming as well, so you get the access to the X Cloud, so you can play games from Game Pass on your mobile phone or tablet. And all Microsoft first party games do get added to the service the day of launch. So obviously you've got Halo Infinite and Forza Horizon 5 coming up this year. They will be on service at launch and they'll stay there. How this compares in terms of price to Xbox Live Gold. In the UK, it is £10.99 a month, so £11. It works out about just under £132 a year. So obviously, for an online service, that sounds quite expensive if you think about how normally like £50 for a year, sometimes in the case of PlayStation Plus. But if you work out in terms of games, like if you buy three games on the service, so they're full price games, especially in the UK, it could be like £150. So as long as you kind of play three full price titles in a year, you're pretty much guaranteed to save money. Cause instead of buying it, you play it on for free, which is pretty awesome. And last up, going to talk about Nintendo Switch Online. Nintendo were the last of the game companies to start charging for their online. It's just literally 3 years ago, I think it's 2018, they first started charging. So yeah, they're very new to the paid subscription and online for online. So let's go through what is included. The current offering for Nintendo Switch Online is has the following features. So playing online, like the other services. You also get access to what is now over 100 NES and SNES games. So between the NES and SNES collection, there is over 100 games. A lot of the classic ones, but also some more obscure and less known games on there as well. They have also added online multiplayer to these, and the fact you can save anywhere and do resume spots, and you can rewind and stuff like that. So there's a lot of extra features added to these games. You've got the save data cloud, so you can back up your saves. But it's quite important, actually, because this is the only way that you can back up your saves on Nintendo Switch. Quite controversially, so a lot of people were a bit annoyed that Nintendo did put this behind the paywall of the online service, but it does save your cloud data. There are specific games that won't necessarily use the cloud data as backups. I know Pokemon Sword and Shield and Animal Crossing New Horizons most notably didn't support it fully. I think a lot of people did it the main reason they did it was like more anti-cheat things, so you couldn't necessarily cheat the systems or like make gains and then kind of try and get things back or kind of get extra rewards and stuff. So the Nintendo are quite protective on that side, so it has raised some eyebrows that not all their games are compatible with the games with the save data cloud. For use of the Switch Online app, which basically allows you to do voice chat, and for certain games it has kind of enhanced features. So Splatoon 2, you could look through and you could get special gear. You could also see what stages are coming up at different times. So if you want to play a specific Splatoon 2 stage, you can see when it's next due to be on the game. So you can work out when you can play it. Smash Brothers is all kind of things where you could look through videos of different fighters. You could look at people's stage they made on Stage Builder and queue out to be downloaded next time you start up Smash Brothers. And you can also access a lot of your stats and things like that, so that's pretty cool. There are two of the examples of games that use it. There are many others. I know Animal Crossing does. You can use that more for chat thing. Using the app for voice chat isn't ideal. But Nintendo haven't really made the Switch natively have voice chat. I think it is possible to do, and some developers do use their own way to make that work, but Nintendo have been trying to use the app for voice chat. And it works fairly well normally, so it's not an app which kind of causes issues, but I have to admit, if I was playing with friends or other family members, like my cousin, we do tend to use WhatsApp and just kind of have a phone call over WhatsApp while we're playing. Especially if you're going to be changing games as well. I know with other consoles, if you're switching between games with voice chat, it doesn't necessarily keep going with the chat, but that way we can just keep the phone call going and kind of move between the different games you want to play. Whereas with the Switch Online, once the party or once the online session kind of ends, like the voice chat shuts down, which isn't ideal, but it's kind of a bit weird. But like I said, it's not the worst I've seen, but it's far from ideal, and I think native chat would be the way to go. And again, you got access to exclusive offers and products. One good thing I did a couple of years ago was they had the game tickets where you could literally pay a reduced rate for two games pretty much. So I think it was something like $89.99 where you got the ability to buy two two games in the collection, which could save you between £10 and £20, depending what games you chose. Yeah, there were some kind of interesting bits there. In terms of price, it is the cheapest. It is $17.99 for a year in terms of UK prices. $6.99 for 3 months or $3.49 monthly. But they do also do a family membership, which is what you can sign up to, and up to 8 different accounts can be a part of this. And at the moment, the family membership is $31.49. I know a lot of people do kind of buy this and share it around, so our trade accounts can use it. And interesting about Nintendo Switch Online, and kind of like the reason why I've decided to do the subject now, is they are about to release new membership options. And yeah, I think the membership options have raised some eyebrows, especially in regards to the price of the new membership option. Because it has kind of caught a lot of people off guard. Especially in America, I will admit. Because even working out the difference between the UK price and the kind of US price, things seem to be more expensive in the US than it is in the UK, which is kind of an interesting kind of observation, really. So Nintendo Switch Plus Expansion Pass launches on the 26th of October, and for a yearly subscription, it is $34.99. So it does pretty much double in price. But I do also do the family membership, which is $59.99. So that's still a steady increase, but again, it doesn't seem to be such a big increase. It seems to be, just under £30 increase. In terms of what this gets you, in terms additionally from what's included in the Switch Online, you get all the benefits of the Nintendo Switch Online, which you've already been through, but you get the addition of N64 games, which do include online play as well. So like the Star Fox 64 or Lilac Wars in the UK, Mario Kart 64 will have online gaming and online play. Access to Sega Mega Drive or Genesis titles, so they've done a deal with Sega to get Mega Drive or Genesis games on there. And also you get access to the Animal Crossing New Horizons Happy Home Paradise paid DLC. The paid DLC is actually valued at £22.49 if you buy it separately, so it is a pretty decent amount, and obviously is more, the paid DLC costs more than the upgrade price. So okay, it's pretty much doubling the price, but it's still cheaper than just buying the Animal Crossing New Horizons paid DLC. Well, obviously if you don't pay Animal Crossing New Horizons, that literally leaves you the Mega Drive or Genesis titles and the N64 titles. So it's whether you think that's a big enough incentive to pay it. Because I know in the States it's going up from $19.99 to $49.99. So it's literally gone up $30. So it's more than doubled. And I think working out the UK to US conversion, we actually really found out, well, myself and Matt looked into it, and the UK price kind of comes up to about $47, so they kind of must have rounded up. But it was just interesting that it seems to be a bigger increase in America than it is in the UK and Europe. So yeah, personally, I think for me it is worth it, because obviously I would have got the paid DLC for Animal Crossing. So yeah, the fact I get that, plus a range of N64 games and Mega Drive or Genesis games, which they will also be adding titles to going forward as well, They have already said they will be doing F-Zero X and Paper Mario and Banjo-Kazooie and stuff like that on the N64. They haven't announced what Mega Drive or Genesis games will be coming, but there are some big missing titles in terms of the likes of Columns Isn't There, which is kind of like a Mega Drive staple you'd expect to see there. Super Hang-On, potentially. And you've only got Sonic 2 for Sonic games, so it might be nice to get the original Sonic, or maybe 3 or Sonic & Knuckles, but obviously they're working on their own remastered package and collection, so I don't know whether they would look to add all of those games onto an online service. So the fact of getting Sonic 2 on it to start with is pretty cool. And also I'm liking the fact that Restar is going to be there. It's a game I didn't get to play on the Mega Drive, but I did manage to play when I got my Wii, and it was on the Wii Virtual Console. So yeah, it'd be great to be able to play that again. So yeah, I'm going to look back and kind of think about if they're worth it, really. Kind of the expansion, like the updates and the online services, really. Thing for me, I think it's a shame that we do have to play for online, but I do get that it is an expensive thing to do, especially to get decent online services. They have to put a lot of money into it and maintain these services and maintain the kind of the servers which allow the online game to happen. So I get that it is expensive for the companies to offer online, and especially the world at the moment, online gaming is kind of the main way that a lot of people play together now. I get why we have to pay for it. In terms of best value for money, I do think I'd have to go for Game Pass Ultimate with Microsoft. If it's just Xbox Live Gold, I think it's not great because it is very bare bones. Even though you've got the integrated voice chat and you can actually send messages as well, which is something that Nintendo doesn't offer. I would say that Game Pass does make it worth it, especially if you're looking at spending £50 to £60 a time each time a new Microsoft first party game comes out. If you play two of those games and like an indie title or a slightly older title that's not as expensive, you still covered what you would have to pay out for the games. One of the unfortunate things about Game Pass is you do find that some of the games do move around. So I think they do sign up games for certain amounts of time. So after a certain amount of time, games do leave the service, but you do always get new games coming in as well. So it's a good mix, and good that they do that. Nintendo Switch Online, I think, is a decent service. There are some fundamental things that are missing. They do not have any kind of messaging feature and bits like that. In terms of Nintendo Switch Online, I think it works perfectly well, but the online isn't as good as it could potentially be, especially if you've got games like Super Smash Bros. That is notably kind of quite patchy and laggy at times, so much so that when they're talking about the game before launch, it did say that if you want to do online games and tournaments, please look into getting a wired LAN adapter so you can kind of connect it directly to the internet rather than rely on wireless connection. I think Nintendo do need to work on tightening up their online service and how smooth some of the online is. But to be fair, it does tend to work fairly well most of the time. So it's not the end of the world. But I do think with the expansion pass, it'll be interesting to see what the value is the second year. Purely because this first year you're getting the Animal Crossing New Horizons paid DLC. So for me, that's softening the blow because I'm getting access to N64 and Mega Drive or Genesis titles, as well as getting the Animal Crossing New Horizons DLC pack. Which I would have had to pay £22.49 for anyway. So it's first year more than makes sense too, but going into the second year, whether it's worth it, because I know they are adding more titles, so it's whether the added titles do make it worth it, or whether they do add another pay DLC pack into the pack as well to kind of boost it and make sure people still see value in it. I know in America a lot of YouTubers and content creators have been quite vocal with the fact that they do think it is potentially too big of an increase, especially as the service is bare bones and they don't have like native voice chat or the ability to send messages and things like that. So yeah, a lot of people do think that if you're just doing it for the game content and the the game content and like the and like the games are available, because it is a admittedly limited N64 and Genesis or Mega Drive library to start with. I think there's about 8 or 10. I think there's 8 N64 games and 10 Genesis games to start with. So yeah, even though they are going to be adding more in, it is kind of a fairly small selection to start with. And for me, I think, I don't know if it's just because I use my PlayStation least, but PlayStation Plus does seem to be the weaker for me. Okay, you do get the decent amount of cloud storage, the share play stuff. But yeah, it's just you don't tend to get that much. If you do want like the streaming service from to access games like the NES, like with online Nintendo Switch Online, you get the SNES and the NES collections. And through Game Pass Ultimate, you do get the Game Pass. Whereas if you want that on PlayStation, you do have to buy the separate service of PlayStation Now, which is pretty much the same price as PlayStation Plus. So you can double your outgoings by getting these services. So yeah, it's very interesting and quite interesting how varied each service is, even though they're pretty much the same core thing, be able to play your games online. Yeah, so that's my kind of overview of the different kind of online services and kind of what's included in each. In terms of whether you think they're ready for money, it all depends on what you want them for and really how much you use them, really. So, for me, I've got no problem with the Nintendo Switch Online stuff, because you've got some great SNES and NES titles on there. I'm looking forward to the upcoming N64 Genesis titles or Mega Drive titles, and also the fact that I get to do the Happy Home Paradise without having to pay an additional cost. But like I said, it will just be interesting to see what they do next year in terms of keeping that value up, where they do kind of do a massive boost on N64 games and Mega Drive games, or whether they do add an extra pay DLC in to make it still feel a bit more worth it for people, because they have said that if you do subscribe to the expansion pass and play the Owl Crossing DLC, anything you unlock through playing the DLC will stay if you get a subscription. It's just you won't be able to access the new islands and destinations that are in the Game Pass. So any items and any techniques and skills you learn will stay in the game. So if you do manage to get all the items you want and all the skills you want and abilities you want, you can kind of then kind of call it quits and then just lose access to the actual Paradise Resort. So yeah, it's interesting to see whether people see that value and wish to continue with the higher rate, or whether they want to just go for the lower cost option, just have the SNES and NES games, which is interesting. But yeah, that kind of wraps up my thoughts, really. I hope you find that a bit interesting and kind of Like I say, I can't tell you what you think's good value, because I think everyone appreciates different things and has different things that they want to get from their online services. But for me, I think Game Pass is probably... Game Pass Ultimate is probably the best value one for me, because you do get the online services and you get all the Game Pass access stuff. And there are a lot of titles on there, some really good titles as well. So yeah, I think for me that's one I kind of like. And yeah, so now time to start wrapping up, I guess. So in terms of what I've been playing in the last couple of weeks, I've been doing Super Smash Brothers, obviously, because Sora has arrived. So yeah, I've checked him out a bit. I've done a bit more Super Monkey Ball, Banana Mania, some Animal Crossing, of course, checking in most days. Tetris 99, they had the event recently for Monster Hunter. Another one for WarioWare as well recently, so I managed to get some cool skins unlocked through those. In terms of Xbox, I've done a bit of more Forza Horizon 4, some Final Fantasy 13, getting stuck back into that. So unfortunately I've not been able to do as much games as I'd like to in the last couple of weeks, because I have been pretty flat out with stuff to do, but yeah, really enjoying Sora and Smash Brothers. That's pretty one of my highlights. Bit of time for plugging. Don't forget to check out Dungeons and Junkies, because there is now a second one shot for myself. I did release a one shot earlier in the year with the guys doing Dungeons and Dragons, where I was Dungeon Master. And they seemed to like it, so I went back for a second shot. And yeah, that has released this week. So yeah, please check out Dungeons and Junkies, or Dungeon Junkies, wherever you can. And also don't forget to check out Matt, Kerry and Alex next week on Game Junkies, because I will be joining them next week. And it's been a while since I've done something music related, especially game music related. So next week they're going to be trying to impress me with their favourite music choices. So I've set them a number of different categories, and then they are going to be playing me their favourite tracks in that subject, and then I kind of choose my favourites. It's going to be interesting, because I've got no idea whose track's whose, so they're going to do a little playlist, so I listen through the different options and then kind of choose which one I prefer. It should be a lot of fun. I've chosen some interesting categories as well for them, so be interesting to see what they come up with. And yeah, I'm excited to join them, because it's always a lot of fun doing a show with those guys. So please don't forget to check out my YouTube, Chris Reactor, and follow me on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll be able to find my YouTube pretty easily, because I do share my videos straight onto Twitter. So yeah, don't forget to check that all out. And thank you for tuning in. And if you're still listening, thank you. Until next time, speak to you soon. Bye.
This podcast is a Mass Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.